Our elected officials are considering enacting a fairness doctrine that would require radio to give equal access to opposing viewpoints. The management of this station agrees. Therefore, whenever you hear a, we'll provide balance with a, if someone mentions
melons,
we'll be sure someone says
wiener.
And when someone is funny and entertaining, we'll be sure to do the exact opposite and bring you
for the most entertaining talk anywhere. Stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Tech-savvy consumers are lining up today to be the first to purchase Sony's brand new stupid piece of shit that doesn't do the goddamn thing it's fucking supposed to. Onion News Network Tech Trends reporter Jeff Tate has more.
Thanks, Brandon. It's being called the biggest fucking waste of your hard-earned money to come along in years. Sony's new stupid box thing hit the shelves at crowded malls and overpriced electronics stores around the country today.
It's got a whole bunch more memory and megapixels and whatnot than any of the other TV shit that I already have. I can't wait to get home and spend my whole fucking night trying to figure the goddamn thing out.
If you can somehow claw and bite your way through the impossible-to-open packaging, this stupid piece of shit offers a wide variety of frustrating-as-hell functions, including flashing random fucking words and numbers on its display screen, not coming with the fucking little doohickey thing it's supposed to, and being goddamned ass-backward as fuck. Sony spokesman Alan Compton said the company designed this sucking fucking goddamn thing to make everyone in the modern home want to tear their fucking eyeballs out.
We listened hard to what our customers said they wanted the most out of their own home entertainment system, and then we pumped out this impossible-to-use fucking piece of shit.
Anyone mystified by the device's numerous extraneous features can scroll through the interactive help menu, a labyrinthine maze of indecipherable topics of use to fucking no one.
We want people to be screaming in unison from houses across the country, work, work, you cocksucking piece of shit. What is wrong with you? Why can't you work like a normal machine?
With a $100 million nationwide campaign to plaster irritating-ass advertisements for the retarded hunk of garbage every single goddamn place you look, Sony is expecting it to become the next fucking gizmo you absolutely have to fucking own if you don't want to feel like a toothless hillbilly living in some hillbilly shack somewhere.
I love bullshit like this. You know, Basically, I'll buy any goddamn thing that I see in an ad.
The fucking piece of shit is available now.
Fuck.
So run out and pick one up and invite all of your friends over to see if
Fuck.
Any of them can figure out this motherfucking time vampire. Unless
Fuck.
One of them is a rocket scientist, Sony pretty much guarantees they'll have no chance. For the Onion News Network, I'm Jeff Tate.
Thanks, Jeff. Sony says they plan to release an upgraded 800 gigabyte version of this piece of shit by the end of the year, just when you figured out the goddamn remote control for this one. It never ends, this shit.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Investigators are still sorting out a four-hearse crash. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Emergency crews are scratching their heads at this hour after a four-hearse collision this morning left them unable to sort out the recently dead from the already dead. Police Officer John Pullman says the semi-liquid heap of death, both old and new, is unlike any he's seen in his 15 years on the force. Lieutenant Pullman joins us live at the scene. Sir, what can you tell us about the accident?
There's blood and body parts everywhere. Right now, we're just hoping to put the paying customer bodies in one pile and go from there.
Lieutenant, is there any danger that an organ donation truck will crash into this multi-hearse pileup and splatter the entire scene with even more lungs and livers?
That wouldn't be good, sir.
Thank you, officer. Our hearts and prayers go out to some of the victims. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Veggie Burger Griller.
Mr. Veggie Burger Griller.
Summertime is cookout time, and most people throw a big, juicy patty of freshly butchered red meat on the grill. But not you. You prefer to be cruelty-free.
Where's that sizzling sound?
How
Mr. Veggie Burger Griller, do you like your burger? Rare, medium rare, well done, or just slightly sissy in the middle?
It smells like burnt popcorn.
What's next, a tofu wiener for crying out loud? So at your next backyard barbecue, fire up the Flame Master 4000 and look out for the guy bringing his own food in an environmentally friendly canvas bag. Mr. Veggie Burger Griller, a real American hero.
Mr. Veggie Burger Griller.
Hey, that actually doesn't taste that bad.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on radio. It's Sam in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Sam.
It's Tuesday, February 23rd, 2010, and we are here live. And you made it just in time. Actually, you were a couple minutes late.
I know. I mean, we don't have to talk about it, Leslie.
We don't have to talk about it.
I had like five different...
It's going to live forever in the archives.
You know, I was like, oh, okay, well, there's traffic, which is true. There's some traffic. That's always a given, though.
Yeah.
And then started my period.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, you can scare... thank you very much. Thank you very much. You can scare a lot of people.
Every month that it comes, you should be grateful, right?
Yeah, you know. I mean, I pretty much keep pretty good track of that thing. You know, I know where to find it if it's missing. But, yeah, I'm one of these people, and this is bad. You know, I know a lot of women that would be like, but I'm one of these girls that when the period comes, it's just so awful.
Really?
It's awful. It's
really
awful on every level.
Yeah.
That I like to talk about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially educate men about how awful it is so that they can be grateful that they're men.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And it's stupid and I need to get over it. And, you know, I've had it for quite a while. So, but still, it's one of those things where I'm like, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had the funniest dream, though. My last period, I'm going to take you back a couple periods. Okay. Take you back.
Okay,
good. I had a dream. This is really bad. I actually posted it on my Facebook one time and I got like so many responses. It was crazy. But, I had a dream that I was, being raped and not like in a good way, but like in a really bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And, then I woke up in the middle of the night and I started my period.
Oh my God.
That is so wrong. Yeah, that's wrong and I shouldn't have shared it, but you know.
It caused a lot of action in there while you were dreaming.
Oh my God. But I think it's just subliminal for like this, just you're like every month you're like, oh, like you morph into this thing that's not even human. You're like, oh. But
really?
Yeah.
And how long does that last? I mean, that feeling, you know?
Well, I mean,
is
the
it
first
like the whole period?
No. I mean, the whole thing kind of sucks anyway, but. None of it's a party, but you kind of, it's the first couple of days, you're just like, but no, I was definitely going to use it as an excuse.
Great excuse.
Great.
I mean, how do you argue that, right?
You really don't.
Yeah.
So I know it's wrong, and I know that there's a lot of, like, feminists that would be like, oh, don't do that, you know.
Uh-huh.
I had a girl say something to me one time, I was like, you know what, just, you deal with yours, I'll deal with mine.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to get to places on time, so.
So do women talk about this amongst themselves?
They do. I think women don't want to share stuff that we talk about a lot because I think women get pigeonholed and people get labeled so easily. And, you know, I think when it comes to guys, they can kind of talk about their penis or whatever till they're blue in the face and it's the same damn running ball joke.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Whereas women, if they talk...
But guys don't talk about their dicks, really.
Are you kidding me?
No,
Sam, no.
Not to each other,
maybe
okay?
Not. I mean, here's the thing. And then women, they talk about anything that's a feminine issue, and it's like, oh, you're talking about your vaginas and yeah. I'm like, women, I don't know. I just think there's a double standard. But no, I mean, we do. I mean, we kind of like, the funny thing is, because I told you, there's three females living in the same house.
Right.
And so there's a thing where like pheromones, like whatever, it basically regulates all our periods at the same time.
Really? So that's true?
It's true, yeah.
Really?
So...
Because I've heard about this many times, but I never thought it was true.
Do you have daughters?
I have a daughter.
Okay, I guess, I don't know, maybe when she's grown up with her mom, maybe they have the same
cycle. Yeah, who knows? I don't know.
Who knows? But it's funny because one of our roommates, she takes birth control, and, you know, which regulates your period as well, and obviously birth prevention, but sometimes she's like forgets it or whatever and then she'll start it up and her period will like jack up our periods.
Right.
So like, you know, Sarah, who we had on the show, will be like, why am I getting my period so soon after I just had it? And we'll be like, Claire, Claire, you forgot to take your pill again. And I'm like, oh, man, you know. It kind of just, like, we call hers, like, the super vagina because it kind of it kind of trumps ours.
Yeah.
We're like, can you just consistently take your freaking birth control so we don't always bleed every 2 seconds? Anyway.
Right.
Gross, but true.
So as opposed to the two of you, she's sexually active.
Yeah, I mean, she's married. Right. She better be.
Oh, she's married.
Yeah, she's married.
Oh, so you're living with her and the husband?
Well, I told you this, but it's a unique situation. He actually works in Houston Monday through, like, Friday.
That's right. You did tell me something
Thursday
like that.
Or Friday sometimes. And he commutes to Los Angeles for the weekends.
I see.
And
okay.
They've had that arrangement for a few years because she moved out here to do acting, and he has a really, really good job back in Houston. And, you know, right. They just kind of make it work, you know.
Yeah. So why would people get married if they're so far from each other?
Well, they were married before that arrangement.
I see.
And when they lived in Houston together, he was traveling a lot anyway. So it's kind of part of their diet, you know what I mean? They're used to the travel.
Right.
Travel. There's a lot of people that have traveling, you know, spouses. Personally, yeah. I think I'm of the school of thought, like, I'm cool if I travel. But I've dated a guy who he traveled all the time. And there's something it does to men. I don't know. Maybe for women, too. But I think with men, it jacks something up.
Really?
Like, being on the road.
In what way? Like, get some horny and shit?
Well, that, of course. That's air just does
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think traveling,
traveling
always makes you horny.
If does it really?
Yeah, it does me, yeah.
Sure.
It's like, you know what, different place. Wow.
Yeah, that's funny. That's so funny. No, it's kind of like, I think that when a man or a woman, but I think more so with men, it's like being on the road, not having any grounding anywhere. I mean, like, you're literally at your house maybe a week out of a month.
Right,
maybe that.
Right.
And you constantly are in places that people don't really know you. You don't really have to be accountable to anyone. You're not in any tight quarters, you know, as far as, like, relationships.
Mm.
So for this guy, he was a comedian, and he still is. He's pretty successful. And the situation was, you know, he travels everywhere. Everybody loves him. He gets on stage. Everybody's like, ah, you're awesome. And then, you know, he comes back to reality, and it's kind of like, you know, well, now there's compromise, and now there's having to deal with somebody that, you know, isn't going to be your little groupie fan every 2 seconds. Oh, you actually have to, you know, give up some things you want in order to get these other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a novel concept. And I think being on the road and traveling kind of jacks with people's relational abilities. And I definitely think, you know, maybe can lead to, like, other stuff as well. Maybe, I mean, everybody's got a different moral compass, and everybody's got different, you know, restraints or lack thereof. But I definitely think it can breed, you know, like...
Yeah, I think you put anybody on the road for an extended period of time, they're going to, like, find someone, you know?
Yeah.
To get it on with.
Well, what about you and your wife?
What about us? When we travel, we travel together. You know?
Do? Well, that's perfect, considering as you get a little fired up, she better be there.
I know.
You're like, look at this. We're flying over Illinois right now. Oh, look at those...
Yeah.
Potato patches.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you travel, you see all kinds of people and stuff. And,
can
get you turned on.
That is really funny.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like you said, the newness of it all?
Maybe, yeah. It's fresh and everything, you know, so...
That's funny.
And, I don't know, just traveling, you're not as stressed out when you travel.
Yeah, I always
say,
like, vacation sex, right?
Right,
like, you know,
exactly.
It's like... Yeah, that's awesome. So should she get all worked up when you guys go travel?
I don't know about that, but I know I do. So.
And is she, like, ready to go if you're ready to go or no?
Always.
Always? Oh,
always.
That's so good.
Always.
Because you hear about partners that are like, you know, they're sometimes not always on the same.
Yeah,
the
I know.
Drive isn't the same, or they want at different times, and it's hard to kind of.
Yeah, definitely not something we have to worry about. For
that's
sure.
So good.
Yeah,
how long have y'all been married?
About 5 years.
You've been married. Oh, you're still really.
Yeah, this is a second marriage for me.
Oh, wow. So it's still really new.
Yeah.
Well, not really. 5 years.
But
5 years is, it's not like 25 years or 30 years of, like, I still want to jump a bones in the freaking airport, you know?
Exactly. But you got to make the excitement, you know? And I think usually, you know, when people do love each other, like, I'm starting to sound like you now.
Yeah.
But
rubbing off. You better watch out.
Yeah.
Church
but,
on Sundays.
But when people. I think in a relationship and really are close, sex is even better. You know,
What? Based on my experiences, not a whole lot, but enough, I would say that it's like, you know, you get to know a person and it's not so much on that surface level. It becomes a deeper and deeper intimacy. And so, yeah, I just think I think ultimately, especially and sex is really indicative of, like, if you're having problems in other parts of your relationship, it can affect your sex life if you're if you're in a relationship, it's like you can't really get away with everything. You know, like if you want to have great sex and you've been with that person for a while and yet you guys have like a beef that you haven't dealt with, sex isn't going to be that great. Whereas if you're just having casual sex with people and sleeping around, you never get to those issues.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Everything's like surface, kind of like, eh, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Let's play.
Yeah,
you get to play around, you know. I don't know. But, you know, I meant to ask, I was wondering after I listened to the replay of the show with Sarah here. And, you know, a question I have to her, just for those who didn't listen, who didn't hear the show, Sarah is Kira's roommate.
Yeah.
And you brought her in here last week.
Yeah.
And or no, earlier this week.
She was at.
No, I'm sorry. Today's only friggin' Tuesday.
Yeah, no, she's here last Friday. Week. She's right here Friday.
That's right. And she said that she's still a virgin. She never had sex.
And you would never think
and
so.
And she's in her late 20s.
Yeah, she's
now?
In her late 20s.
Right. Now this blows me away, and
it
I'll tell you why.
It blows everyone away.
Right. But my question is this, is that let's say she says, okay, well, you know, maybe she doesn't know what she's missing or whatever, and and she's just going to keep it, and it's going to be really great when she gets married and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I had a question to her, you know. Most of us live a long time, you know, and let's hope all of us do, but God forbid something happens, right? And something happens to her, and she dies, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, the question is, got to experience
sex. This is really stressing you out, Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that you've logged some hours in on this. You're like, wait a minute, wait a minute. You know, it's I can't speak for her, but I will, right. Because I know her. But, you know, it really does go back to the belief and the faith. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's not uncommon in a Christian Christians or Christian community for people to be celibate. It's and wait, I mean, I have a lot of friends. Try being the friend that's been the one that's like gotten down in like the Christian group. You feel like a real big hoe quick.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm a hoe. And not because I've had a lot of partners, but just because by default, if I've had one and they've had none, it feels like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But no, there's a lot of them. I mean, I have friends that are much older than her that have not had sex. And I completely...
Where do you find all these friends, my crap?
Well, I mean,
so
they're not, like, falling
like
off
from
trees.
Church
it's not just church, but they're just believer Christians it's a real belief
that
for
you
them.
Gravitate to?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you find them wherever, but, I mean, they're not the only kind of friends I have. I mean, we had a bunch of people over last night, or not a bunch, but a handful of people for a friend's birthday, and I don't think any of them were Christians, you know?
Right.
But they're, I mean, it's not like you're better or worse if you're a Christian. It's not like that. It's just kind of a, you know, are we compatible in this area or not? Whatever. We're still humans. God loves everybody. Da-da.
Right.
That kind of thing. But going back to what you're saying with Sarah, it goes back to believing that this isn't it. This life just isn't it. This isn't everything.
So you're living for the next life.
We think eternity starts here. We think that this life is just kind of a springboard into forever.
Right. And so do you think all this creation, I mean, everything that God created and everything, is just in order for us to go to another place? I mean, why can't we accept the fact that things seem to be like so perfect? You know, we've got like everything's been thought of, you know, the human body, the universe, blah, blah, blah. Very intelligent force started all this. And do you really believe that it was all started just so we don't enjoy every moment of it?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't agree with that. I mean, I don't think that. I mean, I think that God isn't about taking away pleasure.
Right.
He's got a lot more things to do.
Right. Exactly.
I think God invented pleasure.
Right.
I think that he invented sex. He invented the orgasm. He invented eating, you know, eating good food and sunsets and, you know, but at the same time, we have to look at the fact that we're living in a world right now from creation that is fallen. If you say this is a perfect world, and maybe your life has been in a situation where you've had your ups and downs, but overall you're really grateful, you've had a great life, and I think a lot of people would identify, but there's also a lot of people that, what about the person that their dad just walked across the street and got hit by a Mack truck, and now they don't have anybody to provide for them, or what about the kids in Haiti, or what about all the suffering and tragedy that we never get answers? We're never going to get an answer for why somebody loses somebody tragically, or they get to suffer and these people don't. And to try to attribute that they're good and they're bad, I don't buy it. That's not the way God works. But we live in a world that is imperfect. And if you look at children and babies, if you think about our nature as humans, now I think naturally our nature is to want to do good, but I think what comes to us naturally isn't good, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
We naturally know bad. We have to learn good.
Mm-hmm.
And babies and kids, if you look at them, you don't have to teach a kid how to not share.
Right.
They instinctually know mine, 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 mine.
Right.
You have to teach them sharing and generosity. And we know that through suffering and through loss and through struggles, some of the greatest characteristics are developed. You know, compassion, empathy, triumph, being a hero, all those things. We like to watch stories like that, and we like to see somebody achieve and grow, because through those hardships and those struggles, we see some of the best things out of humanity come out, mm-hmm. out of some of those awful things. So I really do believe that in this life, you know, we're here as, it's not about a race. If you think of life as a race, then it's all going to boil down to speed.
Right.
If you look at life as a game, then it's all going to be about winning and strategy. But I really look at life as basically management, like stewardship. We've all been given many different things in this life, and it's basically how you manage and multiply the things that God's given you in a way that you're living for God and before God.
Right.
Like it's for His purpose and His glory through your life. But don't get it twisted. I mean, God is wild. God is romantic. God mm-hmm. is loving. God is whole, and we're mm-hmm. not whole.
Right.
And so I guess what I'm saying is, I think a lot of believers, although, yeah, there's a lot of things we're going to want to do, whether that be sex or whether it's like, oh, you may die, Sam, and never go on a hot air balloon ride or never go around the world on a trip, or yeah. you may...
Not quite the same, though.
Well, it's not, but yeah. my point is that there's just stuff in this life mm-hmm. that may never happen, but we just know it's not the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, not to trivialize it, because, yeah, sex is amazing, but there's just a timing to it, and I think that a lot of people that do are waiting are really believing that there's a timing where it's going to be the best for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely not popular. I think it's a completely legitimate question.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not because God says, I don't want you to have fun orgasms and crazy wild sex. I think it's because He's saying, I'm trying to protect you and I want something better for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it is.
Right. So yeah. God says in the Bible that you can't have sex until you're married?
He doesn't necessarily say like that, but there's scriptures that really support the fact that marriage means... The literal definition of marriage is mm-hmm. man and woman like entering into one another and physically bonding,
right.
which then in the eyes of God is looked at as marriage, as a bond,
mm-hmm.
and that that is to be a commitment, a lifetime commitment to one right. another. And so, you know, you look at that act representing this lifetime commitment, then, you know, you see that as marriage.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So that's going to get you a better place in the next life? I mean, is that the thinking
behind
this?
It's not that you're going to get a better place in the next life. I don't really believe that we earn goodness. I think that
right.
it's not like, oh, you're a good girl or a good boy or a bad boy or a good bad girl. I don't look at
right.
it like that.
Right. So it's not like about reward and punishment,
it's not about reward
right.
and punishment. It's just it's about living in a way, like let's say, you know, you have kids and
right.
you give them choice. They have choice, you
right.
know, and you love them and you're going to love them whatever they do. Because, and you don't know why. You just know you're going to love them, right?
Right.
They can screw up and kill people, and you're never going to not love them, right?
Right.
But you look at them, and you want them to have the most fruitful life.
Right.
The most prosperous, the most loving life that they can have. And I think God looks at us like that, too. And His definition of success isn't necessarily ours. It's not necessarily.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying it doesn't include, but it's not necessarily a big bank account or a big fast car or a bunch of crazy sex. I think God looks at success as a way where spiritual fruit is being developed.
Mm-hmm.
Love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, humility. And these things are developed. And that honors God because He's our
right.
creator. He's our maker. And so those attributes that we develop only because of His grace and His work in our life bring glory to Him and ultimately bring love to people and bring peace and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at it as a way of, you know, God gave you a body, you know, and how do you want to use it? And He gives you free will. He's not forcing it, but
right. So you do believe in free will, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've cashed
so
in
just
on
like,
it.
Okay. So you started with the example of your kids and stuff. Let's
mm-hmm.
say you try to guide them.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But then they choose not to follow your advice.
Yeah.
Right? You don't punish them for that, right?
Well, I mean,
you let them find their own ways. So you can't tell them if you do this, you're going to get punished, and if you don't, then you'll be blessed or whatever, mm-hmm. because then you're taking away free will.
Well,
because
there's
consequences.
Well, if you look at it, I mean, kind of correlating it to it, it's there are consequences to everything.
Right.
Even if you do the right thing, there's still a consequence because you're not getting to do some of the fun stuff, right?
Right. For every action, there's a reaction.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not necessarily, oh, God's punishing you and zapping you with a lightning bolt and sending you to hell. It's not like
right.
that. It's just there's a natural... There's, for example, I'll just use my own life. You know, when I've engaged in things that I don't believe in, you know, just because for the momentary pleasure or, you know, when I'm on a reckless road or whatever it is, or I just want to get it on, right? My experience has been the aftermath is a real sense of, you know, yeah, it was fun, it was great. I'm not going to say it wasn't fun, because it totally was, and I've done a few crazy things in my life. But there, the consequence, it wasn't that God did it to me, but there was definitely a sense of like, oh man, I really don't feel loved. Mm-hmm. I really don't feel connected. I really don't feel known by this person. I don't feel intimate. And now, even though I didn't feel loved or intimate or connected before, now I have a need for that with that person, whereas before right. I didn't. And I feel exposed, and I don't feel you know, protected and all those things. And again, you can fool yourself and go into these situations saying you don't need these things or whatever, but 9 times out of 10 there's an aftermath of, oh, now something's exposed that wasn't before.
Right. But now, you see, you're comparing casual sex to married sex, but what about sex with a boyfriend you've been with for 3, 5 years, 10 years?
Well, the thing is, there's different you know, obstacles that come with that. I mean, it's not necessarily that you're going to have that experience, but I mean, come on, you know. I've heard it said, there's this really great, his name is Dr. Tim Keller, and mm-hmm. he teaches out of New York. And he talks about consumer-based relationships versus commitment-based relationships. Let me break it down for you. So there's a word that they've coined called commodification. Basically, when you go to your deli, okay, and you go pick up your slab of, you know, beef tenderloin every day or whatever, and you go and you're like, yo, Frank, how's it going? Hey, Sam, how you been? Oh, I'm doing good. You know, you got my meat. Ah, it's good, man. Tell Sherry I said hi. Right? Mm-hmm. You have a relationship with Frank, right? You have a real friendship with him. But that friendship is based on the meat.
Right.
It's based on a product. Mm-hmm. Now, if the meat and the quality of the product goes down or the cost is too high, you're going to dissolve that friendship and that relationship and go somewhere else that you can get a better deal on meat and with better quality. Mm. So that's only, that relationship is only hinging upon the product. That's called a consumer-based relationship. And it's appropriate because it is, you're at a grocery store.
Right.
Now, what's happening is that in most people's interpersonal relationships, they're treating them as consumer-based relationships. So family members, spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever, it's becoming fill my needs, give me my wants. And if they're not met, then you're out of there. And it's not based on the person. It's based on the product. Mm-hmm. And sex is made to be in a commitment-based relationship.
But that's what I'm saying.
There's a commitment. I'm getting to that. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I'll nip it in the bud. So yeah. What happens is, even if people are living together or they're sleeping together and they've been together for a long time, that's great. I'm not saying they don't have real love. I'm not gonna put any label on their relationship. I don't know them.
Right.
But you can say this. If somebody has decided, like usually it's with men, I'm not going to marry this person, mm-hmm. but we're just going to do this right now.
Right.
How can you say you're fully all in? You have one foot out the door mm-hmm. at all time. You have no real commitment to where you have to deal with their issues, deal with their problems, be with them when they're sick, be with them when they're dying.
But why would you think that people would not do that if they're not married?
I mean, like they wouldn't bail?
Yeah.
Well, there's no guarantee there.
I mean, but there's no guarantee when you get married either.
You see people, you know, divorce rates are high, and I think a lot of people don't take marriage seriously anyway.
Right.
Anyway, so
there you go. Divorce rates are high. It means that you don't have to be married in order to have a great relationship,
relationship. Yeah, well, no,
you know?
I'm not putting a – I'm saying this is the school of thought, and this is what I believe, and this is what she believes.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that I'm hearing, like, extremes here, you know? Like, on the one hand, casual sex, unfeeling, uncaring sex, and then married sex, you know?
It's supposed to
be the best, yeah. But there's got to be something in the middle, which is, I think, the most common one, mm-hmm. and that is that people don't get married, but they have sex in long-term committed relationships.
Well, and I can't really argue that, because I do agree with you. I mean, just because you get married does not mean that person is going to stick around. It doesn't mean you're going to have better sex. It doesn't mean that, you know, there's any guarantees.
Right.
So I agree with you. And there's people that don't get married that have long relationships that are more healthy than some marriages,
right.
that are more committed
right.
than some marriages, and have better sex lives.
Yeah.
So I can't argue that, because that's just such a huge spectrum. All I'm saying is that the school of thought that believers, and not every single Christian, I mean, there's so many different Christians out there, I'm not, you know, but based on, you know, you're asking about Sarah and myself, it is that the context is this mm-hmm. is what we believe God's design is
right.
marriage. And so we're, because of our love for God and our belief in God,
right.
we're going to go that path, even if we don't want to, because we want to do that, because that's what we believe God wants for us and we want it for him.
Right.
But
so,
I'm not saying.
So the bottom line is is blind faith, right?
It's always faith. I wouldn't necessarily say it's totally blind. There are there's reasoning behind it. There is some intellectual reasons. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's a hybrid of things seen and unseen.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. I think you also have to examine why you feel that way and why you feel the need for that. Again, not that I'm discounting it at all.
Go for it. I love it, Sam.
It's a great thing.
Yeah. But it's so countercultural that you gotta understand this ain't my first rodeo. Yeah. I mean, I've lived in LA for about 8 years now, and I mean, I don't go around advertising it, especially when I don't always live what I believe. I mean, I'm not gonna be like, hey, I'm in Jesus for sex.
So what's your justification for that? For those times when you decide,
selfish. It's been one of those. You know what? This is fun. I want an escape.
But why is it selfish?
How is it not selfish?
But why is it?
Am I really giving? Is it really about the other person, or is it about me in that moment?
It could be about them as well.
No, I'm telling you, it's totally all about me.
Well, okay, so it's about you.
It's all about me.
So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with looking out for number one? Okay, it's not consensual.
Yeah.
The other person is in it for themselves as well.
Listen, do I think...
You're in it for you, for, you know, for yourself as well. But again, you insist on talking about casual sex, and I just want to know the difference between a committed, long-term relationship.
Versus.
Yeah, because what happens with couples that have a civil marriage where they don't get married by a priest, okay, but yet they're considered married?
Yeah.
What about those people?
What about them?
Well, I mean, is that are they considered married to you? Or
why,
by the church?
Why wouldn't they?
Because they haven't been married under the blessing of God or with a priest or anything.
Well, I think only that's between them and God. I mean, I can't say if they've gone and made it legal, that's one huge step, because part of marriage is it's the physical union,
right?
The spiritual union,
right?
Well, spiritual and physical, but it's also saying to everybody, like there's a public statement that you're making, saying
right.
I do to this person, I don't to everyone else,
uh-huh.
And that's part of it. So I mean, there's people that probably get married in a church before God, and in their hearts may not mean it.
Right.
I can't really say, if they mean it in their heart before the Lord. But I mean, I think a huge part of it is part of people having the celebration of marriage and the ceremony is a part of it's a declaration you're making publicly.
Right.
And that is before people and before God. And, there's an accountability process to that too,
right.
So that alone, I would say, yeah, why not?
Yeah. Now let me ask you this.
Sure.
You said something about this world not being perfect,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Now, so a couple questions to you. First of all, I want you to tell me how it's not perfect.
Okay.
And the second thing is why. So you're implying, you're implying actually that God's work is not perfect.
Well, what I'm saying is that. We don't live in a perfect state. I think that God is perfect, and I think that the creation that He made is perfect.
Right.
However, and this again, there's no way for me to talk about this without going into what I believe. So take and pick
what you believe.
So I'm going to go into what I believe is that we were designed to have to be whole with God. We were designed to have a relationship and fellowship with God where there isn't. Where are you, God? I can't feel you. I can't see you. No, it's where He's right there in us, through us, around us at all times.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Bible, there was a time for that in the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve walked with God,
mm-hmm.
and that they communed together. And then going back to the tree of good and knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Now whether that's literal, metaphorical, or whatever,
right.
God put a choice there. He said, "I want
right.
love. I want true love, and love
right.
involves a choice." So now that opportunity to choose. God or choose their own path. They chose the tree, and now here we are, where we believe that we have death, we have illness now, we have natural disasters, and how can you say that that's perfect? And I'm not saying that not good things come out of it, as I have said, good things do come out of it. But I think ultimately this isn't the way that God intended it, but yet He is still bringing people back to Him through it. So it's just a different path now. So I mean. I think that God, I'm actually extremely fascinated with how creation, and looking at the same God that invented Florida and Hawaii, invented Siberia, invented Asia, and all these, the diversity of God
right.
is amazing, and
mm-hmm.
God's such an artist, and the complexity of science and how amazing it is, and And
the human body
is amazing. The environment. It's so it's so intelligent, and you can never wrap your arms around it. But I also look at it, you know, spiritually in this world. I mean, there's so much suffering, there's so much pain, and I just don't believe that this is it. I believe that there is a time when we all die and forever starts.
Right.
And I believe that that's to be in a place with God eternally, not like here where God is here and among us and with us, but we're always straining through our weaknesses. We're always straining through our struggles to be near Him. It's like a complete envelopment in God. 100% all the time.
Okay, so how do you explain like natural disasters and stuff? I mean, what's the thinking behind that?
I don't know how. I don't know if I'm supposed to explain it. I don't really know. I just think that, you know, again, going back to the fact that this place is not necessarily our home eternally. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that all creation moans and grates for the return of God, that is waiting for restoration.
Right.
And again, I think that means a lot, that there's just a lot of things in this earth that it's not its original state, both physically, spiritually, and that's in people and in creation. I mean, you know, there's a lot that you and I go through in life and we don't experience. There's a lot of things that we're like, okay, you know, sometimes life is hard for us, but we don't know how hard it is for some people, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of relative. But sometimes I look at, you know, I get a glimpse behind the curtain of some of the evil that does go on in this world, like human trafficking and child pornography. And it's the kind of thing that makes you want to throw up. It's so evil.
Right.
And I got to go, you know what? That's not God. That's not how He intended it. Right. I'm not God. I don't see things through His eyes, but I can only imagine with my imagination that God, you know, sits back. Not that He's always sitting back, but if He were to look down at this earth, He's probably going to see a lot of good, but He's also going to see, you know, the dark things of this world that some people will never know about. And He goes, that's not Him. Mm-hmm. That's a result of choice. Mm-hmm. That's a result of brokenness.
Yeah, but He had to have invented that kind of a choice.
He invented, you know, the way I've heard it said, and I think it's great, is that the actual definition of cold is a certain degrees absence of heat.
Exactly.
Like cold is not its own.
So everything
vocabulary.
Has an opposite in this world.
Well,
right?
It's kind of like if God is love, complete love, without fear, without insecurity or blame or embarrassment. He's love. I love you. I love you. I love you. And it's love and it's wholesome. And He's goodness. He's kindness. He's gentle. Mm-hmm. He's merciful. He's graceful. Mm-hmm. Okay? If He is those things, they're not that He has them, but He is. Mm-hmm. Those are His things. That's Him. Mm-hmm. If you decide you're not going to go with God or you're not going to, you know, want to know Him, and you step away from Him, the absence of Him is what?
Right.
It's like if you look at love, it multiplies. Mm-hmm. Lack of love implodes. It's self-destructive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's consuming. It's
but
possession.
He invented both sides of the coin. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, and He could
In other
have,
words,
but I mean, that's a
just
debate.
Just like you said, there can't be good without bad. There can't be light or light without darkness. I mean, you have to have the opposite of something, and you have to create both.
Well, I'm not really arguing that that's not true. I'm just saying that's a theory, and a lot of people... Yeah, I can see where you're coming from with
that. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, so that's why I say, you know, natural disasters, for example, are they're nature. It's part of nature. I mean, it has to be, because if there's good weather, there's going to be bad weather, you know?
Well,
there's going to be all these intricacies of running this universe. You know, maybe earthquakes are
necessary,
you know?
Well, actually, I agree. I mean, I think that there are a lot of natural disasters that are necessary, but again, for this life, not necessarily for the life that we're meant to live eternally.
Right.
Because we live, again, going back to the fact that we do have disasters, I'm not saying that they're not necessary. I'm just saying, how is that really living in a world that's completely perfect in, like, quote-unquote, utopia?
Right.
And that's what I believe eternity is, and forever in the presence of God. I don't believe we're going to need those natural disasters.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But if you look at our ecosystem and you look at the good and bad that come from natural disasters, they a lot of them are necessary.
Right.
You know, they circulate the weather, they, you know, it expands and, you know, all this stuff. So,
So you're saying in the next world, is everybody treated the same? I mean, there's always love there after a person dies?
I mean,
you're saying there's no punishment.
Well, I mean, I believe that if you choose the Lord, and again, it goes back to choice and goes back to the choice, even in the garden, choosing God or not choosing God. I mean, I've heard it said people don't go to hell mm-hmm. for what they do, they go to hell for what they don't do.
Okay.
And that's not about, again, it's not about being a good girl or a good boy. It's about God is here, and he says, I'm a hidden God, and I reveal myself to those who seek me.
Mm-hmm.
And if our heart is seeking God,
right.
then we're going to spend our life with him.
Mm-hmm.
If we spend our whole life running from God and, right. and not wanting to know him and wanting to live our life solely for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
then I think it's safe to say that in eternity, what's going to continue to happen? Are you going to continue mm-hmm. seeking God in eternity and being with him, or are you going to continue being away from him?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's kind of, you know...
Yeah. So what do you think, what was the point in creating this universe in the first place?
Well, I got a text from God this morning, and he yes. just gave me, if you have a, yeah, the
okay.
point of creating,
uh-huh.
you know, I have my ideas on it, I think, but I don't really fully know who does, mm-hmm. right? But
right.
I think that it's like...
That's why I asked why
yeah.
you think. What
well,
do you think?
Sam, let me ask you this. You have...
I don't expect you to yeah. be a messenger of God. For,
yeah.
For,
well, listen, I mean, you got married, and you had children.
Right.
And whether that was planned or whatever, it's like there's a point where you're like, I want to bring life mm-hmm. into this world.
Right.
And there's something about life and mm-hmm. that multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. And love doesn't stay in one place. Love actually spreads and multiplies. Mm-hmm. And the more that it spreads, it multiplies more. And I think that just God's nature and his character, it wasn't a have-to thing. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to.
Right.
But I think it's a want-to. He wants that love.
Right.
You know?
So let me ask you this now. You're saying there is a hell, right?
I do believe that, yeah.
Okay, so it's not all love and everything. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, in other words, what you're saying is there are consequences. If you do what God says, you'll have a good eternity. And if you don't, you're going to have a bad eternity, right?
Well, I do.
So how is that any free choice there? I mean, you're pretty much telling me if you do this, I'm going to punish you. That's not really free choice.
No, it's first of all, it's not about doing.
Yeah.
It's not so much about what you do. It's about what you don't do.
So what about a mass murderer, for example? It's not about what they didn't do. It's about what they did. What about that?
Well, I think it all goes back to, you got to understand, like you and I, we look at everything very physical, and I think God looks at stuff through the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going to heaven and hell, if you, going back to your kids, if you have children and you give them free will, right? You
right.
say, even as kids, you know,
yeah.
They have the choice to walk across the street.
Right.
Well, the natural consequence of walking across the street and not looking
right.
is they can get run over by a car.
Exactly.
And that's the natural consequence. It's not because
right.
you did it to him.
Right.
It's because that's a consequence.
Right.
Now, I'm just saying it's not even about, quote unquote, completing the missions that God gave you on earth. We'll send you to heaven, or if you don't complete them, go into hell. I don't
right.
look at it like that at all. I look
right.
at it like it's a heart condition. Am I seeking God with my heart?
Right.
Am I giving my life to him every day, seeking him with my heart? And if you're going towards God, seeking God, well, then I believe in this, the life after, you're going to be with him. Whereas if you spend your whole life going out of your way to, you're not seeking God, you're ignoring God, you're all about yourself,
right?
Then that's going to continue in eternity.
Yeah.
And it's not because God put you there, you put mm-hmm. yourself there.
Right.
If you don't want to be in the presence of God and you don't want to seek him, and you don't want to know him, it would kind of be like another hell for God to make you be in his presence for an eternity.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You spent your whole life seeking everything for yourself and not seeking God, and now God's going to force you to be in his presence for eternity?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see that really as being like God punishing you.
All
I think
right.
it's more.
Well, I mean, this is awesome, but you know George Carlin?
Yeah.
Okay, let me play this for you.
Has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man.
Wait, this is starting in the middle. Let me put this, because this is really cool.
Okay, I want to hear it.
On George Carlin on religion.
Okay.
You know, but why is this written in, yeah, hold on just a second. I mean, this is like, I wish this one started in the beginning, because it's pretty funny. Let's see this
but
one.
But in the bullshit department, a businessman can't hold a candle to a clergyman. Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. I got to tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe. In awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. No contest.
Okay, now I'm going to continue really this, funny. But it's pretty funny. You,
oh, I no, mean, I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
Yeah, I just hope you don't get offended by this
Sam,
stuff.
Sam, I am so not offended. I mean, I think it's great even having conversations like this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Of
like, it's great. If I learn or you learn, great. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. And I don't.
But plus, you'll see that he makes sense with all this madness and all the fun.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I
you know,
hear
the
it.
Way
I
he
hear
presents it.
It
so.
Religion. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you.
I love this one. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny.
He loves you.
Oh, man.
He loves you and he needs money.
That's funny.
He always needs money.
Oh.
He's all powerful, all perfect, all knowing, and all wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars, they pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story.
That's fine.
Holy shit.
Oh, man, that is so funny.
Oh,
I actually, I mean...
But you see, that's another thing. There's a difference between religion
exactly.
and faith, I think.
Yeah, it is. And actually, I think that was really well put.
Yeah.
George, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, there is so much religion that's not about God.
Right.
It's about power. It's about... manipulation mm-hmm. and it's selfish and it's mean and it, I mean even though he's doing that's funny that was really funny if you listen to what he's saying and if that were true if that was really God how heartless and cold is that you have these 10 things that hopefully you get it done and if you don't well smoke you know what I mean like that's just it's so mean and cruel and I mean but unfortunately you know I think I told you when I the first show I was talking about how you know, I come from the Bible Belt.
Right.
And it's, like I said, a great place to be from. But there's definitely, and this is probably indicative of wherever you're from, like moving to L.A., there was a lot of things that I had to detox from the culture because there's so much of a Christian culture.
Mm-hmm.
Christian bumper stickers and church meetings and potlucks and, you know, God made me weird, Sam. Like, I've always been out there and, you know, people like me, but then at the same time, I've never really fit in anywhere.
Mm.
And I remember growing up and talking to God as a kid and learning about God and learning about Jesus and having this faith in my heart that grew over time that nobody had to do with. It was just me and God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember really wanting to get in church and really wanting to connect with people there and never connecting and always feeling like I was the stupid one or the dumb one or the one that was bad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time to realize that a lot of people go to church and a lot of people, you know, they drink the Kool-Aid and they do stand up, sit down, repeat after me, turn around, do the right thing. And yet it's not real. It's not in their heart. And unfortunately what that does is it promotes this really cardboard fake religion that is about a club and it's not about people, it's not about God, it's not about love, it's about, you know, doing things like us.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I think it's so toxic. I think it's so dangerous. And you know, there's a great book that I never read, but I read the title.
Right.
And the
Sounds
title
good.
Said well, Sam, the title's pretty amazing. It's called Death by Church.
Uh-huh.
And I think that statement is so true. There's so many people that desperately are looking for God and they go to church and they don't find him.
Right.
Not because he's not there, but because there's so much in the way sometimes of
people
people that are just
collecting money for God, for
collecting
example.
Money, looking good, looking holy, trying to, you know, it's all about fit. You know, I've heard it said this, and I think this is so great, that evangelism, the definition of evangelism should be a beggar telling, listen, a beggar telling another beggar where there's food.
Yeah.
End of story. It should never be, I'm on the good team, you're on the bad team, let your science project, let me save you. Uh-huh. It shouldn't be about that. It should always, the heart should always be engaged, the soul should be engaged, and it should always be from a really true, genuine place.
Yeah.
And you know, there are, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of Christians that are that way, and there's a lot of people of faith that are that way.
Right.
But there's also a lot that's in the way that of people that they don't even know why they go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I couldn't agree more with George Carlin.
Yeah.
It is bullshit.
Pretty good. Yeah. A lot of bullshit there.
A lot of bullshit, man.
Yeah. Well, great talk on God. We're going to take a little break and we'll be back right after this.
Got it.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. Call in 923-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You on your side.
But then again, so is appendicitis.
Now let's get back to Sam in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Sam. How are you? Good God, morning, morning talk, yeah. Jesus talk.
Are you like, you had your fill for the day, huh?
I love it. I mean, I think it's where I think it's great when people actually are cool enough to have those conversations without, you know, you know, some people
killing
just,
each other.
Well, some people just get like so they can just be offended by what you believe, even though you're not putting it on them. They can just be like, you know. Really, it's like it almost triggers something in them where they're like, I just got here. And you're like, look, you asked what I believe, this is where I stand, cool, you know.
Yeah.
And some people are intrigued by it, and some people, you know, always try to change your viewpoint, which I find very entertaining.
Right.
And good radio.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. No, but I think it's great. I mean, because you know, it opens up your heart and makes you, and it's just another way for people to connect.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask
you. So were you like in the sun this weekend or something?
Do I look sunny?
It looks like you had a little tan.
Well, here's my secret, okay? Uh-huh. It's called tan in a can.
Oh, yeah?
No, seriously. I have a...
No, but it's kind of reddish. I mean, it doesn't look like...
Oh, my cheeks? Yeah. Well, my cheeks and my face always are pretty rosy, and they stay
really?
Sunny.
Oh.
Yeah, and the guy I was dating, he called me Fertile Face.
No, there's a name.
I know, because he just says my cheeks are always so rosy, like he wants to give me a baby. Yeah, yeah, no, but anyway. But no, I actually wear a fake tan in a, like, you know, you spray it on.
Really? Well, I can't
But it doesn't,
tell.
It yeah. doesn't, it works, but then, like, you know, it streaks. I don't know if you can see some of it, like my...
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, like, some of it's kind of like...
Too orangey.
Whatever, Sam. Yeah. Anyway, we can't all be from Israel. I'm so naturally white, and I just don't want to get wrinkles, and you know.
Yeah.
You know when ladies like lay out. Have you ever watched The Real Housewives of any of those shows?
No, no.
Oh my gosh, we got to get you hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I've heard of them.
Oh my gosh, they're so funny. But The Real Housewives of Orange County, it's basically a reality show that follows these wives around, and they've got just nothing to do. I mean, I mean, they're bored. They got to invent shit to bitch about, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So, but no, they bake in the sun, and like the skin's really leathery, and you know, they're it's not that they're not good looking women. It's just so much tanning.
Yeah.
That,
yeah, you
know,
can overdo it for sure.
Yeah, I think
but
it's
you would
good.
Just get burned, you know, with such a fair skin and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So
it's better you stay out of the sun.
So I use, you know, an aerosol tanning thing that I inhale the fumes and, you know, work at it from that angle. And then, yeah. So I do that. But yeah, my face, I don't really put any of the tan stuff on. But I just, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
it just seemed like you were just out in the sun for a little bit and got a little red, yeah.
You're making me blush, Sam.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Your
nose
me hot.
Is blushing.
My nose is blushing? It might have been the makeup job I did on the way here in the car trying to get here. I was like, you know, throwing stuff on, hoping it was hitting the right spot.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
I guess.
Hard life, huh, Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, going back to Sarah, your roommate, I'm thinking that I'm surprised she didn't turn into lesbianism or something. You know?
Really? Why?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because, again, I think it's very unnatural not to want sex.
She doesn't not want it.
Okay, so
she's a
what I'm saying is
woman.
she's got to find other outlets, okay? So let's say masturbation, but that could get old after a while if you want to have a body next to you. So I think she's a natural for lesbianism. You know?
Well, do you think that...
Oh, but then she's violating something else in the Bible? Is
well, I mean, it's the same thing. It's just sexuality and outside of marriage.
I
but,
see.
But no, I was going to
so
say...
I'll take it back.
No, but I mean, are you saying that lesbians don't have sexual needs or desires? Because I'm sure that they
No, no, no. Horny. What I'm saying is if she doesn't want to do it with a man, she might want to do it
Listen,
with a woman.
She is
a
totally...
Replacement.
The thing is she's a red-blooded woman. She's... You know, stunning, and you know she is totally attracted to men.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
I make a joke though, like we were, you know, we share a bedroom, and we were watching, the movie Mulholland Drive. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, we were talking about that the other Mulholland Falls.
No, this is Mulholland Drive.
Okay, all right.
It was recommended.
No, I never saw that.
It was recommended to us, and I think it's a totally crappy movie, but whatever. But all of a sudden, these two hot girls like. Sleep in the same bed and are like having sex all naked
right,
and stuff
right.
And it comes out of the blue, like you don't, you're like, what's going on here? And then they like start getting it on, and I said, Sarah, it was like one of the first nights she moved in, I was like, don't be pulling a Mulholland Drive on me.
Yeah.
I better not wake up and find you freaking trying to get up in my bed.
Yeah.
That is not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
No, she's, yeah. You know, she's totally 100% into men. But, yeah. You know, it's just different when you've conditioned yourself over time to not go there.
I know. It's got to be such a miserable way to live. I can't
but
tell you
But she's probably
how.
One of the, I mean, the thing is.
Yeah, she seems happy,
she's
you know?
Probably more happy than a lot of people getting laid all the time. I mean, you know, it's there's really this place that people put on sexuality. And I've totally pro-sex a lot.
Because, I mean, but there's a reason. It's the best friggin' thing ever, and it's free. Okay? So,
well,
I mean, it's
people.
The best thing that God gave us is sex, you know?
Well, it is awesome, but, you know, it doesn't solve all your damn problems,
No,
Sam.
Of course not, but then again, nothing does.
Nothing does.
Yeah.
But I mean...
I don't need sex to solve my problems. I just need it to let me play for a while. Play around. You know?
Well, and you
just
know
like
what?
Kids. Kids like to play in the sandbox and stuff like that, you know? And on the swings and that. This is my kind of play.
Well, you know what? And then you knock yourself out till you're blue in the face.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sarah will in her right time. I mean, and to be honest, I mean, she's just... Although I agree with you, I think sex is so phenomenal. There is this misconception that once you start, you know, that it takes on this role that it's not necessarily meant to have. But the thing is like, you know, I know a lot of people that are getting laid all the time and they're not happier. We're not talking
about happiness.
Then
I'm
what
just
is she...
talking about experiencing more out of life.
Yeah.
Okay? And this is definitely an experience that I don't care how much you're into God and everything.
Yeah.
You know what? So, you know, okay, let's say you're not going to do it out of marriage. Get married then, for crying out loud. What are you waiting for?
Do you hear him? Sam's pissed, Sarah. Sam is
pissed.
And he needs you to get married. It's stressing him out.
I'm not pissed. I just think she's missing out on a lot, and I feel for her.
Oh, you're so sweet, yeah. You weirdo. You little freaking weirdo, twisted weirdo. No, I think that she has a good head on her shoulders in the right time. And, you know, there's a lot of people. I mean, I have a really – you're going to freak out about this one.
Yeah.
Should I tell you?
Of course.
Okay.
It's only us.
I have
here.
A really – yeah, right. Only us and 10,000 listeners. I have a good friend of mine who is literally the 40-year-old virgin. Actually, he's over 40 now, and he's a virgin. And he's
– Really?
He is a good-looking guy.
Uh-huh.
He's a doctor, has money.
Yeah.
And he's a virgin, and he's not gay.
So what's his problem?
He's waiting until he's married.
I see. Okay. So he doesn't have a problem.
Well, I mean, it's hard, you know, but my point is I wouldn't wish that for anybody. It's not like something I think, hey, it's fun not having sex and waiting. Come on to our side. It's so much better.
So,
no, it's not.
That was like a conscious decision on his part?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he hasn't made out or anything or, you know, been in relationships, but he just hasn't gone all the way, you know, and he's saving that for marriage and he hasn't met the right one. And I mean, you know, everybody to each his own in that regard and, you know, what people are going to do. But
right.
Yeah.
So now to you, sex, is that just intercourse or anything that has to do? Like, is oral sex sex to you?
I mean, I definitely think there's a distinct difference between having intercourse versus oral sex. But can I say that oral sex isn't part of sex? Come on. It is part of sex.
No, exactly. I mean, I tend to think so, but a lot of people
don't.
No,
it's definitely part of sex, but it definitely has a – but it's definitely not as – it's intimate, but it's not the same as, like, two people physically bonded, you know, like that. But I wouldn't say it's not sex because,
right.
Come on.
It is sex. Well, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
It's sex. Come on.
Yeah, anything that has to do with your genitals is sex.
Yeah.
Anything that your partner would not be happy with is sex.
That's
you
right.
know, if you, I mean, meaning that if you had it outside marriage or something.
Yeah.
You know, because some people say, oh, I didn't cheat because we only had oral sex.
Oh,
you know?
Hell no.
I don't think anybody would go for that.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
No flipping way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how can people say, you know, you're taking a penis in your mouth and you're saying that's not sex?
You know,
some people do.
I was just, I was curious. I had some in my teeth.
It was just like sucking on a lollipop. Not a big deal.
But I'm with you. I think it's sex.
Yeah.
Although I do, well...
All
I
right.
mean, whatever.
Whatever. Right. So how was your weekend? What did you do on the weekend?
Okay, what did I do the weekend? So we filmed something on Saturday, a little short film.
Who's we?
Sarah and I with another comedian named Marisol Medina, and we filmed her. It was her project, and we just
What was her name again?
Marisol.
Marisol?
Medina.
It can't be Marisol.
You can, but that's...
But you have to pronounce it the way she
does,
right?
You don't have to, but I have a good friend from Egypt. His name is Tariq, and he just started going by Terry. I said, Tariq, why aren't you going by, you know, Tariq, not Terry? He goes, white people don't like to say ethnic names.
Yeah.
And I said, that's really true, man. So I started looking at it like, well, I'm going to do my best to kind of... Yeah. If they, however
his name
they
is not Tariq either. It's Tariq.
Well, wow. Apparently,
Tariq,
you know.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. See,
yeah,
I
ask him and see. Yeah, it's got to be Tariq.
Tariq?
There's no Tariq in Arabic, yeah.
Oh, well, then it's Tariq.
Yeah, not that I know Arabic, but I know the pronunciation of that.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. So it's Tariq.
Tariq, right.
Yeah, no,
I didn't notice on Facebook that you have some... You're friending some Israeli guys by the names, I can tell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is
you
that
didn't
a,
even realize
is
that?
Is that like a weird thing or something?
No, not at all. It just occurred to me, though. You know, that's unusual. There's not a lot of Israelis out there.
Oh, well, you're saying straight off the boat Israelis? Like, you mean like...
I don't know where they are. I just can tell
like
by the names.
We're in L.A., so like there's tons of Israelis here, right?
Right.
Let's go to my friends real
tons
quick.
Tons of Israelis.
Let's see if some of these Israelis... What, did you remember any of the names?
No.
What, give me an example of what a...
I don't know. It just, you know, on your page, it says who you friended and stuff.
There's a Nick Yusuf. But Yusuf. He's a comedian.
Yusuf is Arabic.
It is? Okay, never mind. Yeah, I don't exactly know.
Yeah, I'll tell you who they are.
Yeah, tell me
I'll identify it for you.
Yeah, I don't ever even think about it. I don't know. You know, it's funny because I started... I friended a guy from Australia and... Mm. Really cool guy, and then you know he sent me like all these friends of his started you know adding me in, so it could be a friend of his that's from Israel,
and they're all friending you.
Yeah, I'm like fine, let's do it. I'm down with friends.
Yeah,
you know.
So Christians actually like Israel, right? They feel that Israel needs to exist in order for salvation or whatever. No.
So I don't know. I'm not really up on it enough. I like everybody. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they. Smell, just playing.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean,
they
I don't really.
Smell
have,
or
I don't have
like
a specific. Yeah. I don't have a specific affinity to a place. I mean, I definitely see, you know, Israel as a definitely a point of origin for a lot of different faiths,
right.
And I do think there's it's very special.
Right.
But as far as saying, you know, like there's kind of a specific alliance, I'm not that keen on. I know there's something like that, but I don't really.
Right.
I don't really know completely.
Right, right. Do you have any desire to go visit there?
I would love to go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
I would love to go. I've heard the weather's beautiful. I've heard it's just really cool, and I'd love to go to the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
And float, right?
Right. But you'll find it's very Americanized in Israel too.
Yeah.
Very much so. You know, all the labels, all the brands.
Yeah.
You know, all the fashions.
How often do you go back?
It really varies, you know. The last time I was there in November, I went to visit my parents and stuff. My mom was sick. So that was in November. I'm hoping to go again this year. We'll see.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's like one of your favorite things to do there?
There's a lot, you know, but mainly it's a social life there.
Mm.
You know, friends, family, things like that, very close. But,
there's a lot of hot guys from Israel.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like, the ones that come here, and it's just like any other place, but, like, you know, kind of straight off the boat and maybe aren't that Americanized or really don't have their English down.
Right.
But there's just, like, a real primal sexiness to these guys. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
No?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're like, yeah, it's like, Kara. Oh, I'm supposed to, oh, my God. So, yeah, not me. Do you see how
your
I like,
accents.
I always want to share stuff, and then I'm like, oh, man, I'm such an overshare.
Yeah.
So there's this, you know, so I'm doing acting and everything, but I also do part-time gigs, and it's always looking for something that's casual work that's not fully going to take up all my time, but will provide and pay for the bills, and so I've done the most funniest, craziest jobs, and, you know, some stuff's really legit, some stuff you go in and you find out, oh, this is not legit, I need to get out of here, you know?
Right.
So it's actually very, very funny.
Yeah.
But one of the guys that I met, he started a business that I might do with him, work for him, not like partner with him. But it's basically the concept of a wingman. Have you heard of, you know what wingmen are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the idea is a wing woman.
Right.
It's for guys that want to go out and meet women, but don't have the skill set to know how to do it or intimidated or need some help. So they hire a wing woman that goes out and basically helps start conversation, helps them, you know, get the confidence up to go kind of go and meet the girl. and help them get numbers, basically.
Great idea.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're the sidekick.
And what if the woman finds out that you actually paid?
I think it could probably go sour.
Yeah,
it could.
I think so.
It could. But I mean, you know, I'm not planning on advertising it.
Right.
But I don't,
but
I
the
don't
guy
know.
Might eventually tell her, you know. But then it's their business.
Yeah, but
their
I mean,
problem.
I think if there's a legitimate connection made at that point, then, you know, you just kind of sit back and let whatever happens. But what I was brought that up is that the guy that owns this business is Israeli, and we're supposed to meet up tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great idea. You can tell him I thought he's creative.
Yeah, but no, he's kind of like, I've got a job for you, you know, and, you know, I'm from Israel, and this is a good job, and he always does this with mouth.
I'm trying to pinpoint the accent, but you're all over the map.
I'm all over the place, but I don't know my Israel accent yet. I got to get it down.
You'll have to figure it out.
But no, it's kind of like this. They're very like, you know, and he's like, you know, it's kind of hot, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what? But you're going into business with him, so.
Well, not going into business. We're meeting up to kind of discuss what the job actually looks like. You know,
how did you hook up? I mean, how did it?
It was like a casting thing. They're looking for people
that are. Okay.
So I was like, oh, okay, well, and it pays really well. So if it's legit, you never know. I mean, I have so many friends that if it doesn't scream legit, they don't even look into it.
Yeah,
for me, I find it all entertaining.
Yeah.
So and I've had some really great things come out of that, and then some not so good stuff. So I'll explore it and see.
Yeah.
You know, what's really going on here? Is this, you know, legit?
Yeah.
And I found some cool gigs out of that way.
Yeah.
So, but we're supposed to be.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the guy. I'm just saying that, true. You got to be careful.
You do have to be careful. You know, it's one job that I was going to look into was this lady wanted me to be a salesperson for her matchmaking service, like online dating.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, maybe I can get into that or whatever, do some sales for them. And turns out that it was like called Madame Cloquette. And it was like an escort service. It's not actually an escort service. I shouldn't say that because they are illegal.
Right.
But it's the idea that, you know, they're not an escort service, just letting you know. But the idea is that it's, you know, it's relationships based on fully, you know, one thing and that kind of idea. Like a sugar daddy type situation.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, oh, okay. It's not really legitimate. It's not like people are necessarily looking for love and looking for relationships.
Right.
They're looking for more like, you know,
for a whore.
In between stuff.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or that, you know, that kind of thing. So it's like, no, but I almost went to the interview just for fun, just to kind of see, not because I would do it, because I wanted to see, you know, like how much she would divulge and stuff like that.
Yeah. Would you ever pose nude in Playboy or something like that?
Why do you offer?
I mean, you've got to have a price.
Yeah, I thought about it, and I'll be honest. I'm not going to sit here all holy, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here like I've got – I'm so Christian. Well, every woman wants to feel sexy and desired, right? So I see the temptation of it. I see how it would be you would want to feel so beautiful, like, oh, my gosh, look at me. And, like, the wind's blowing in your hair, and you've got, like, great lighting, hair and makeup, and, you know, just looking like this vampy girl.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, I'd have to say no.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think
– for any price.
Yeah, I can't do it because I just don't see, like, I see myself being married one day, and I don't see that being something that I want to share that much of myself with everybody else. I want that to be for
$2 million.
No, because I want it to be for my husband. And don't get me wrong, you know, I mean, you see the way I dress.
$5 million.
No, you see the way I dress. Like, I'm not, I love being feminine. I love wearing dresses. I don't have a problem showing some cleavage and being sexy, but I don't think that it's something every man needs to see.
Right.
I think it's for my husband one day. You know what I mean?
I see. Okay.
And I have sexy photos and stuff already.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You should bring him in sometime.
They're on my Facebook.
Oh, really? Sexy ones?
I think they're sexy.
Really? What, showing anything?
They're not like,
any
I mean,
skin?
It's more like the expressions are really, you know, sensual and pretty and, but they're, you know, it's not like my whole body's exposed or anything like that.
Right.
But I'm like really, because it boils down to this. It's like, it's beautiful. Women's bodies are beautiful.
Right.
There's a side of just the fact that women are beautiful naked, and that's beautiful, right?
Mm.
But then there's also a side where it's like, you know, it's like this ravenous kind of like, you know, she becomes an icon and just an icon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, guys are getting off to her photo and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, it's one thing to be beautiful. It's another thing to, like, you know, I don't really need that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need that. I don't need to prove it to anybody. And,
right.
You know, and especially I think when you're married, I mean, maybe some partners wouldn't care, but I would want that to be something. And I'm a pretty, everything about me is pretty out there in the open. I mean, my personality, my faith, my, even, you know, I celebrate being a female. I don't hide it. But I definitely think that not every part of my, you know, sexuality needs to be like.
Okay. Last offer, $8 million.
I'm going to have to pass.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
If you had it right in front of you, you'd do it in a second.
That's not true.
I mean, it would totally change your life, you know?
Well, in what way would it change
your life? I mean, I'm not saying you personally. Okay, let's just say in general. I think.
Yeah, most people would do it in a heartbeat. Yeah, they do it for they would do it for way less than that.
Yeah.
Most people.
That's why I brought the price higher. I thought maybe you have a higher price. I don't know.
No, I mean, like, I just, I kind of, it's not like I think you're awful.
I mean, if you thought it changed your life forever and made
everything
so much
forever?
Easier. It would make everything so much easier. You could have everything you want.
Oh, you mean financially?
You could travel, yeah.
I mean, I plan on making a lot of money in my life anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be a superstar, so, you know.
Okay, there you go.
There you go. I just don't see it happening through me being a centerfold.
Okay.
And I think, you know, we're all going
to
live.
Well, we'll have to go with
what
the centerfolds that they already have.
What about you? You know, the guy I was dating that recently, he was offered by Playboy for Playgirl. They wanted him to come in and test, and they were going to pay him a lot of money just to test.
Right.
And he could have, you know, been the centerfold, and he didn't do it because he was like, he goes, I know my mom has a lot of cougar friends. He goes, I can just see them finding the photos and showing
my mom. Let me tell
you,
there's not a single woman that reads that magazine. It's
all for gays. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, what women? What women like?
Women don't read that thing. Gay guys
do. I'm proud of you for even seeing that, Sam. Yeah, most people would think, oh, women buy that. I'd rather buy a Playboy and look at naked women.
Yeah, exactly.
Than a man's junk. I don't need to see it, that Jeep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's all like functional. It's like, I don't need to see it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, ladies, look at what I'm packing. I mean, men's stuff is not attractive. It's for use.
Uh-huh.
It's great when, you know, you're getting down, but it's not like I want to put it on my wall and look at it.
Right.
Pack it up. Pack it up. Take it somewhere else.
All right. Time for another little break, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Let's get back. Let's get back to Sam in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, and we're back. You started talking about the thing you were shooting on the weekend.
Yeah, we did.
So what was it?
It was just a little digital short, and it was a comedy. It was really funny, and it's basically like these crazy women that work really hard 9 to 5 throughout the week, and they're executives, and they're really tough, and they're really on their job, and then the weekend comes, and they try to let loose, and they just are still really the same way, but they're wearing crazy outfits. And so
yeah.
We're like, we're here to party. We're here to party like it's 1949.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
So it's a comedy type of a thing?
Excuse me. Yeah, it is a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was good. It was fun. I did that. And then Sunday. What else did we do? Oh, went to a friend's house for a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Had great food.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Do you like to eat?
Yeah.
What's your favorite food?
I do. I like all kinds, really. I mean, I like Chinese, Japanese, Middle Eastern, mainly. Because I grew up on that. You know?
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, like, Middle Eastern is like couscous.
Shish kebab and stuff. Yeah, couscous, hummus. Yeah, things like that, you know.
So good.
Yeah.
And where's your... And your wife's from where?
From Israel as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you guys meet?
J-Date online.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
A match site for Jewish people.
Oh, no, I know about J-Date. But no,
yeah.
It's funny.
Because I decided to look for an Israeli this time, you know. I mean, my 30 years here before I met her, I'd only been with Americans, right?
Were they Jewish Americans or Americans?
Mixed.
Mixed, okay.
Right. And so, I mean, I never really paid attention to that and stuff. And then I thought, you know, I wonder, you know, after 30 years here, what's it like to be with an Israeli, you know? So we met like only a few days after I joined, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was amazing.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm here to say that online dating does work.
Yeah, that's, you know. I actually, the guy I was dating, we met online.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It wasn't J-Date, but, yeah. No,
Craigslist.
Yeah, Craigslist. Yahoo. It's called Google. I Googled him.
Yeah.
No, I think it's kind of losing the stigma, and it's becoming just another way to meet people.
Right.
You know?
And I think it's a good way, because you can go through a lot of people and not have to go through dates just to find out the right one, you know?
Yeah.
Because a date, I mean, if it's someone you don't like at first sight, can be a miserable thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. I think that the only thing, though, is like I'm really not in that place of really caring about it right now. But when I did it, there was still work involved.
Mm.
Like you still had to screen people and you still had to make sure to like, you know, it's probably different for women than it is men. Like with women, you get tons and tons of responses.
Right.
So there's a lot of undesirables and there's a lot of I basically had to get to where my profile was like turning people away. Like it was like it was like trying to not attract people in some ways so that the guys that I would be interested would kind of read between the lines and see the real stuff and then they would get through. It's like you set up all these different like kind of obstacles, you know, to kind of eliminate, you know, and then I had to change photos, you know, because I was like, oh, pretty pictures, tons of pretty pictures. And I was like, oh, this isn't good. Because even though I had stuff like, you know, kind of my draw my line in the sand, it's like guys see a pretty photo and they're like,
she wants it. Let's give it to her.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, not interested.
That's true. And they say a lot of, I don't know if it's most, but many men get on there just to find a quick fuck, pretty much. Yeah.
I don't think I've been on those sites, but I definitely think there's...
No, even on Match.com and all the big ones,
I'm not...
Because...
Yeah. Like eHarmony, people aren't going to do that on eHarmony.
Probably not. I don't know, because it's pretty expensive, isn't it?
I think I haven't done that one, but I just don't see...
That
people.
One's pretty expensive. I mean, they go through a thorough thing with you. And,
yeah.
You know, like a big screening thing. People go there more to get married and stuff, I think.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to project anyway in
their advertising. Have you seen their commercials?
Which ones?
All of the boring commercials that they
have.
Yeah,
they
do
have boring commercials.
All of the couples that they show look beige.
Yeah.
They're all wearing like different colors of tan and like earth tones. They're like, when we wanted to settle down, I was in a cool business having my own shop and... You know, he's a lawyer, and it just made sense. This relationship makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, it looks boring.
Yeah,
eHarmony looks boring.
Because they're after older people, I think. I mean, they have like an old spokesman.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's the founder. I think he's the founder. But I just think they needed to like maybe look, make it look a little more exciting and make it look, to me, it looks boring. Like, you know, everybody's beige.
I know.
And another thing I noticed is like the guys are like the fun, crazy one, and the girls like the, I'm just so glad I landed a man.
Yeah.
He can be crazy. I'm just glad that I've got a man now. And I'm like, throw up.
Which makes me think of The Bachelor. I mean, have you seen a more pathetic friggin' show than
that? Oh, man. Well, actually,
you know,
I have.
The shit that women put themselves through.
It's like, you know? It's just, I feel like nowadays, and as we hear on the radio, it's just all for ratings and TV and entertainment.
Right.
So it's like, I think a lot of these women, you know, they sign a bunch of forms, they play up to the camera. I mean, this, some of this shit can't be real.
Really? You don't think they really cry for real and all that stuff?
I mean, maybe, but I've done reality TV and none of it's real. It's all actors.
Really?
So, yeah, it's not, I mean, I'm not saying some of this stuff isn't real, but they usually write and write it up.
Mm.
But, and they create storylines and things like that, you
right.
know? But maybe The Bachelor, maybe there's a little more truth to it, but yeah, I think naturally, if you look at the natural biological kingdom of men and women in attraction,
mm-hmm.
men are hunters.
Right.
They need to go out and hunt the woman.
Right.
Okay. And women, it to me, it's extremely unnatural for a man to sit back and have like a harem of women all vying for his affection. I think men should have to earn the woman's affection and not. Because it's more, it's that's sexy, that's attractive. I think,
right.
like, if I was on the show, The Bachelor, I would be off and, like, I'd be eliminated right away because
right.
I'm just not going to compete with women for a man's attention like that.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not saying that sometimes you don't get competitive when you're around a guy, but, I mean, it's unnatural for me to have to fight for a man like that. That's It should be the other way around, like men fighting
right.
for the woman. Would
exactly.
you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, like, weird. It's.
And women make, I mean, these women on the show, they make fools of themselves.
What's
you know?
The funniest thing or the most embarrassing thing you've seen on that show?
Oh, well, I don't really watch it.
Yeah.
I just know about it.
Yeah.
And I catch, like, little parts and stuff. You
yeah.
know? But I never really watched it, so I can't answer that. I don't know.
I think that there's so many women, too, that just, they're single for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with men.
Yeah.
And they're single not necessarily because of choice, but because they're, like, emotional baggage or you know, you hear them in these like these situations where they're like, yeah, I've been really wanting to get married and you know, my first husband left me and they just overshare everything and they run the guy away and you know, they don't look like their life is exciting and fun. They just look like they're really desperate, you know.
Yeah,
and
exactly. That's why, you know, I think maybe it's not so much that they act to the camera, it's just they look for women that are fucking emotionally screwed up.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and it's funny.
Yeah, it is.
It's
funny. It is funny, and it's pathetic, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe that the women put themselves through for a guy.
But what are they getting paid? What are some of these people in The Bachelor getting paid?
Yeah, but still, you know, I mean, I don't know. It looks convincing to me for whatever reason.
Yeah, it does look convincing?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would do it if I was the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And then I would sit back and let the guys fight for me.
Yeah,
and then I know
sure.
it would still be bullshit. Like, they'd all be just trying to win something.
Yeah.
Know? It's not even that they'd all care that much. It's just like, you know.
Yeah.
It's about ego.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, that show is surface, you know, if you've ever seen any, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's really funny, though. It's funny how they try to sell the whole true love aspect to it.
Yeah.
You know,
which is some bullshit.
I know. I'm like, are they really going to have a relationship after this? I think not. I don't think any of them have had relationships with the person afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Like long relationships.
Then the Bachelorette get married to one of the guys.
I don't know. Did
yeah.
she? I mean.
Yeah, she did.
Did she really?
Yeah, a few years ago. I mean, I don't remember which one, but one of the first ones. Maybe even the first one. What was her name? Trish or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Just see, I remember something from it.
What do you think?
It's in the news.
What do you think about like the Millionaires Club and like the Millionaire Matchmaker and you know the concept of like rich men with women and that whole you know but
happens without TV shows
no,
too.
No, but
you
but
know?
I'm not talking about just a TV show. I'm talking about dating sites that are designed for like SugarDaddy.com and
right.
Millionaires Club, Millionaire Match, and
right.
the idea that you know beautiful women, rich men. And now they sign up and they're on this. It's like the you know matchmaker for that that for those demographics.
Yeah. Well, that I think that's usually the deal is the man brings in the money and the woman brings in the looks. You know. I mean, you see it in L.A. all the time. You know, when you see a couple and you go, what does she find in him? You know.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I just think like a guy that has that kind of money
mm-hmm.
and he signs up to be part of this, you know, this dating site
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of to me like do you really think that like you're going to meet a quality woman that not that there's not good women out there that don't that you know money's not bad but I'm
right.
just saying that's the that is the premise that is the that is the platform of which the two of you guys are meeting.
Right. I think that they're used to that, you know, and I think a man with money is accustomed to buying things, whatever he wants and everything, and if it helps him find a woman, then they do that, you know. I'm not saying that emotionally it satisfies them, but, you know, but maybe they're not after emotional stuff, you know.
Well, I'm saying if
just for a trophy wife or something, or not even a wife, but just a trophy girl, you know, to show off. That's what it's about. It's just like the nice car that they drive, you know, and all these things that they try to impress people with, you know. And you have to ask yourself about the women.
You know, what
woman would go after this and like a sugar daddy? And apparently a lot of women do want that.
It's so weird because I've watched that show on Bravo, The Millionaire Match, and Matchmaker or whatever. And she gets these women that are just very beautiful and... You see them on this date with this guy, and it's so awkward because he's short, he's not attractive, he's frumpy, he's weird, he's got money, and here she is, like, she's trying so hard to be the good girl and smile and laugh at his jokes, and I'm like, this is so uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because you know that they naturally would not, you know, they don't make a good match. You know, and she's like, and drinking her champagne, and it just looks boring.
I know. And, you know, but online dating, like you said, it lost its stigma now, you know, and I think a lot of people do that. Did you ever do, like, speed dating?
No, but I would do that for fun. I've heard that's fun. I met somebody that got married that way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're going to start coming up with
it
all different ways.
It sounds fascinating because you go through a lot of people, you know?
Yeah. I met a guy, he's like, 3 minutes with each person, boom, 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 and he met his wife that way.
Really?
I just think nowadays we're going to start coming up with the newest ways to find dating. It's like, hey, hot air balloon ride, skydive, speed dating, you know? Meet in the air, see if there's chemistry, see if it happens when you land, you know. You know, it's just funny, but I would do it because it just seems like musical chairs and it's fun.
I know, it does seem.
But I've
like
heard
that
the quality of people that show up are kind of like wackadoos and stuff. Yeah.
Like desperate people?
Or just people that are like, you know, especially in LA, you can't, you know, it's just the crazy goes to a different level.
Yeah.
You open yourself up to that. It's not just a couple weirdos. It's just... insane.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking for something here. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, so have you've not heard about the whole global warming, possibly a hoax stuff?
No.
You haven't? Okay.
No.
Well, it's been hitting news, and basically they've asked some of the beginning researchers to basically provide their research, and they can't find it conveniently. They can't find any of the research that they've based global warming off of. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just saying this is what's out there right now.
Right.
And so a lot of, like, the UN and a lot of different countries that were starting to make policies based off of this research are now starting to go back on those policies and not develop those things because this is now not necessarily true.
Wow.
And so, but the what led me to even research it a little bit, and again, I'm not saying it's completely the facts, so feel free to call in with your opinions or facts, but is that I was told that there weren't any solar flares. You know what? Basically, solar flares are like the wind off the sun, and that those solar flares have decreased or stopped this last year, meaning that we're going to have one of our colder winters. And he told me this a year ago, this guy, a friend of mine who worked with science, and I said, that's interesting. And then I just looked at the news today, and I'm from Texas. Texas is having one of the coldest winters it's ever had, and there's snow freaking everywhere.
Right.
It's below 30, and for Texas, that is, like, so rare. It never snows. It's a hot place to live.
Right.
And so now it's snowing all over Dallas. It's snowing, and it's suspected to move further south, you know? And it's just really interesting, you know? I mean, it's snowing in Dallas, it's snowing in Texas, it's snowing everywhere. It's, like, colder. It's just interesting how, you know, what's
really going on
here.
But the global warming thing it's supposed to fuck around with the weather anyway. So what happens is, if anything, you're arguing for it, I think.
Actually, no. Global warming is saying more that it is warming. It's not that it's just messing.
No, it's warming, but you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it can create, like, storms and things like that, like, you know, the glaciers melting and all that stuff that can have
but
all
kinds
of results.
But what they haven't told you...
But you'll have to agree that the weather has been out of whack.
Yeah, but the thing is what they haven't told you, going back to the glaciers, is that they were reporting on a certain section where some of the ice caps were melting. But what they weren't telling you in other parts of the Antarctic Ocean is that there's increasing the amount of icebergs and the amount of more snow caps that are being developed and, you know, icebergs. So it's like in one little area, it's changed over time, whereas in the other area, it's increased. Right. And they're using it as kind of a fear tactic, possibly, you know, to say that, oh, you know, the water's going to, you know, secede and, you know, take away our borders or whatever. And and I'm not saying that none of it's true, but I think it's just not complete. It's not total.
Right.
And there's also suspicion that, you know, the ecosystem does change and it's part of its natural diet for it to increase and decrease.
Right.
And it's kind of the funny part is that it's saying that it's a little arrogant of human beings to think that they have that much effect on the weather and the climate.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't have any contribution. I mean, I definitely believe in taking care of the environment and doing our part, you know, and not polluting and stuff like that. But to say that now we're going to make all these political decisions based on evidence that we can't even find anymore. As far as like this research is so far, they haven't been able to even find it.
Right. Right.
You know, so
and that's been a controversy for many years. You know,
some people have been saying
that it doesn't exist and all that. You know, and I mean, generally, I don't think it exists, or if it does, I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Neither do I. I mean, the thing is, though, is like at first I was like, oh, okay, inconvenient truth, and oh, okay, you know, global warming, and I was like, okay, well, either way, it's good to take care of the environment, so we all win, right?
Right.
So at first I was like, well, either way, if it's fully true or not, we still need to just take care of the environment, because
right.
we should do that. You know, we shouldn't destroy it. We should, you know, nurture it. And then when it starts turning into, oh, well, now we're going to enforce that certain kind of cars have to be made, and now we're going to make, you know, political policies based on this kind of stuff that will infringe rights of people and things like that, and you're going, wait a minute, well, is this even true research?
Right.
Or is this even true? And you're starting to find that now they're really trying to, I think, overstep boundaries based on not necessarily fully grounded information.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the you know, kind of interesting part.
Yeah. It's just interesting that, you know, the whole world is researching this and we still don't have any conclusive answers, you know?
I know. It's really interesting. All I know is it's snowing in Texas. That's my point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. And that's weird, you know? That's weird for it to... So that's what I'm saying. Maybe the weather's getting freakish. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's been strange here, too, you know?
The rain.
For many months now, we've had really warm days and really cold nights, you know? And I don't remember it ever being like this.
Really?
Yeah, where there's like a really big range between the lows and the highs.
Really? Because
I've
always thought that L.A. was kind of like that. It was always kind of like, you know, very mild temperature, except for summertime. Sometimes it can get hot.
Right.
But at night, it's always kind of chilly. But yeah, it has been a little bit more drastic.
Yeah, it has been drastic for months
like
now.
It's been
that's
like 80 degrees during the day.
Yeah,
and
you know,
night,
80,
like
and then at night it's 40 degrees. I mean, that's like really unusual, you know.
But is it unusual for desert stuff?
Well, we're not really a desert here. I mean, we have like ocean climate here.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want to get my tan on.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you like going to the beach and stuff in the summer?
I love going to the beach. It's just like, it seems like you can easily forget the beaches there.
Right.
It's all of L.A. You can get kind of locked in your neighborhood and then just not go, and it's like 10 minutes away or without traffic. Or,
right.
You know, with the traffic 2 hours. But, you know, and you just don't go. But I want to make more of a conscious effort to get down there. I love working out in Santa Monica. It's just so great being by the ocean. And, you know, you can go hiking. You can go running on the beach. You know, you just so many great neighborhoods to even go work out in. And then they have the stairs. Have you heard of the stairs?
Yes.
Yeah, it's so great because it's just fun to be in those communal areas where everybody comes out to work out and you're all kind of like hanging out together.
Right, that's true, yeah. And what's really fun is taking a bike and just riding down the path.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
have you done that?
From Santa Monica all the time. Yeah, from Santa Monica you can get to Venice Beach and back and stuff. And it's really peaceful, you know?
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Even when there's a lot of people, it's still peaceful to ride your bike down there.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I really
you
gotta
do that.
Yeah.
And they rent bikes out there, so you can, you don't have to take it with you.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I kind of miss the summer by now, but you know what? The summers here get so hot that, you know, after a while I just don't enjoy it, especially in the valley. You know, there's other
the valley's hot, man.
Yeah,
the valley's
really
not the valley's not breezy, you know, warm breezes. It's it's stifling because it's so packed.
Yeah, and we got all the pollution here and everything.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So do you and your wife, do you guys, going back to the travel thing, do you guys travel a lot? Do you get out?
We try to, yeah. Yeah, we've been to quite a few places together.
Yeah?
And it's fun, yeah. I mean, I think everybody wishes they could travel more.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, we've been to Vancouver, to Seattle together, to Vegas to Amsterdam to Hawaii to Israel. I mean, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know. I used to like traveling by myself, but not anymore.
Oh, yeah?
I really don't like it, no.
So you love it when she comes, or you kind of like,
yeah,
oh, man, I kind of
yeah,
want to.
Yeah,
that's so
like
sweet.
And, yeah. I guess, you know, you're getting older.
Well, it's better for you to have her because you get turned on. And you know, you don't want to be, oh, I want to travel alone. And then you're all like,
yeah, I know.
You know, Boner City. And she's back in L.A. And you're like, oh, man, I should have rethought that trip.
Yeah, there you go.
Would she be pissed if you wanted to travel without her?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so, no.
She's pretty independent?
Yeah.
What does she do? What does she do out here?
She works with me on the station.
Really?
Yeah.
What is she on air, or is she just
no,
here?
Not on air, but behind the scenes.
Oh, okay.
All the time.
That's
yeah.
So cool.
It is. It is. You know, so I mean, it's not always that a husband and wife can work together and stuff, but for us it works out.
That's
really
so cool.
Well. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And it all started on J-Date.
All started on J-Date a few years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing, huh?
You have to be Jewish to do it, right?
No, not at all.
Really?
There's a lot of non-Jews on there, of course.
They just want to date Jewish
yeah,
people.
Yeah, looking for a Jewish man or something.
Interesting.
Know?
I have a friend that has a Jewish fetish.
Really?
She just loves Jewish guys. She's like little, short, rich Jewish dudes, you know, that are funny and quirky and just like, you know.
Yeah.
They have so much great personalities.
Yeah, it's amazing what people are attracted to and stuff. You
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
interesting.
What are you going to say? But the nice thing was that it turned out we were born in the same year, and we went through the same things. You know, we can share the music and the culture that happened in the 60s and 70s when we were growing up, you know, in the same
That's
place.
That's so cool. I feel like yeah. I meet men all the time because I love older men.
Yeah, I love men.
I love older men, and but the problem is they're going to keep getting older. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if I could just freeze them at the age I meet them and then just – like, we could just keep that ratio, you know, keep me.
Yeah. Well, excuse me, you're going to age too.
Well, no, I absolutely. Well, no, but the thing is that it's like, you know, if I meet somebody because I'm still in my 20s and I meet them 20 years older than me, that's a big difference down the line. Right now, it's fun and it's a great.
I actually think when you get older, it's not a big difference, you
really?
Know? Yeah. I mean, look, we hang out sometimes with 30 something people and. You know, I mean, we're almost 50, my wife and I, and we hang out with people that are in their 30s, and it's fine. It's fine. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. You don't really notice a difference.
Well, I agree with you. I'm talking about, like, if a 20-something is married to somebody in their 40s.
In their 40s.
When she's in her 40s, he's in his 60s. When she's in her 50s, he's in his, you know.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
70s,
I mean, I don't know how these things work, but some of them do. Some
yeah, that's
don't,
true.
You know,
and I mean, you know, but I find that so many older men are just like will not date people their age.
Right, right.
You know, so I commend you in the sense of like, I mean, just the fact that that's just you know so.
Yeah.
Normal.
It happens. Yeah. I guess everybody's got somebody out there. Just
everybody.
A matter of time.
Everybody needs somebody.
Yeah.
Sure do. Yeah.
All right. Well, Kira, this is it for today.
That's it, Sam.
That's it. You have a busy day today?
I always have stuff going on.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining
us.
We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. To get in contact with the show, please send email to info@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio.